A federal report out just before Christmas shows progress in reducing the numbers of people living on the streets. HUD, Housing and Urban Development, says homelessness is down generally across the country in 2019, but not on the West Coast. California and Oregon were singled out in the report as states that saw significant increases in unsheltered and chronic homelessness. The need is certainly felt here and is getting attention. Medford has a homeless shelter team set up to look for short and long-term shelter options and to improve the situation. Let's hear about the work of the team and more generally about efforts to help house homeless people in Jackson County. Constance Wilkerson joins us in the studio. She is the Jackson County Continuum of Care Manager. Connie, thanks for joining us once again.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about the Continuum of Care and what it brings together.
The Continuum of Care is a countywide effort. In our case, we're an independent Continuum of Care to help people who are experiencing homelessness navigate housing and social services.
And how has it been going?
It's going really well. We have about 122 nonprofits and community-minded organizations helping us in our work.
And what are some of the major needs then? I mean, as you look at this HUD report, I noticed you were nodding your head as if in agreement with what you're seeing.
It's really the unsheltered population. So those who have not found a bed in a full-time shelter or a transitional living facility during the winter months and really need shelter. So that's the subpopulation we're really trying to help house.
Now, I did notice, I don't know if you saw it too, there was one of those Since You Asked segments in the Mail Tribune in Medford on Saturday, I guess, that was asking about homeless numbers specifically, and more specifically, how many people are homeless by choice, which don't seem to be identified as any large group or even a recognizable group within the people who are caught in the point in time surveys, found, counted in the point in time surveys.
That's what we're finding. When we do our annual point in time count during those last 10 days in January, and we ask the question, you know, is this a choice? And less than 5% in Jackson County are reporting that this is a lifestyle choice for them. Most are seeking shelter.
Mm-hmm. So why does that seem to stick so much, though? I mean, why do you suppose, and this is only conjecture I'm asking for on your part, about why people still walk around with the assumption that there are people who are homeless by choice or hobby homeless or any of the travelers, I guess, is one of the other terms we've heard used for them.
I think it really is a misconception. It's just a public misconception that people are homeless by choice. Mm-hmm. And Ashland's homeless often has a slightly different appearance because in the summer we do have individuals who may identify themselves as travelers, traveling from one location to another, but we really don't see that in the winter months in any place in Jackson County.
The point-in-time surveys are taken in January, usually, is that
right? That's correct.
Okay. So is that part of the issue here, that anybody who would be homeless by choice would probably not be doing it in the winter?
Right, and that's why the federal government does it during the winter, because that shows the need for beds, especially for the unsheltered street count part of the point-in-time count that reflects the number of people who are not housed currently in a shelter or transitional living.
Much more to talk about homelessness in Southern Oregon with Constance Wilkerson from the Continuum of Care. We also have coming in Chad McComas from Rogue Retreat and Christina Johnson from the City of Medford. They'll join the phone call in just a few moments here. So a couple things that we're juggling here. One is the fact that the HUD office in Washington, D.C. recently certified the annual homelessness data that indicates that homelessness is generally down across the country, but up on the West Coast, specifically California and Oregon. We also have the formation recently of a homeless shelter team for the City of Medford. And so we're talking to Constance Wilkerson, who's the Jackson County Continuum of Care Manager. Chad McComas is with us as well from Rogue Retreat. He's the CEO. Chad, welcome.
Yes, thank you. Good to be here.
And Christina Johnson is on the line as well, City of Medford Communications and Marketing Manager. Christina, welcome to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Christina, if you would, detail the recent development of this Medford homeless shelter team and how it came to be.
Certainly. So that was, the shelter team was something that our Deputy Fire Marshal Tanner Farrington, he thought would be a good idea as our City Council recently passed policy to create an opportunity to have severe event shelters. And so Sam Barnum, our Building and Safety Director, as well as Tanner Farrington, with Chad and Connie and Melissa Main from Compassion Highway Project and a few other local organizations, we've had a meeting to get together, and it's just basically an opportunity to talk about what's going on. If we had a severe event shelter that opened, that we want the opportunity to recap what had happened, what went well, what didn't go well, how the city can help, and what role the city plays in that process.
So is the primary function then to take care of short-term issues like that when there are severe events, or has it also got a long-term component of it?
I think it's kind of twofold. I think the primary function to create it was to talk about the severe event shelters, how the city can help our local organizations open up locations in a severe event. But also, it is a great opportunity for us to connect with these local organizations and make sure that we're hearing what's going on out there and we're able to share information and collaborate.
Well, Connie Wilkerson, you were saying off air before we got on that there were some severe weather events already that have set this into motion. So we had some setup of shelters in Medford that hadn't previously existed?
That's correct. The First Presbyterian Church of Medford stepped up and allowed the team to use their location, and Compassion Highway stepped up and brought in the volunteers to make it happen. So it was a wonderful collaboration. It was during Thanksgiving.
Okay, and that was the First Presbyterian Church. And you also had Ashland had the library also step in as a shelter.
And
in
the
that
Grange.
Cold spell. And mm-hmm. the Grange as well. Okay, so capping in a couple of communities as well. So for the city of Medford, Christina Johnson, is there some fast-track process now for emergency shelters?
Well, so what we would do is in the policy that was approved by council, there's, so for example, in the winter, if the temperatures hit 25 below or if they're forecasted for that, then
it would just be 25 degrees, not 25 below zero, right?
Correct. Okay. I'm sorry. Yes, 25 degrees. And so what would happen is that we reach out to local organizations that have said that they're interested in becoming a shelter during this time, and we try and collaborate with outside organizations as well as something like Compassion Highway Project to provide the volunteers for these facilities. And then the city manager would declare a severe weather event, and that would allow these areas to open up during that time.
Okay, so any waiving of requirements or just a speedier set of processing things going on here?
It's a speedier setup. The goal is for our deputy fire marshal and our building safety director, Sam Barnum, to already have previously gone through the approval process with these locations. So First Presbyterian Church, they were able to go through that process beforehand and be able to be set up. So it's basically the policy helps reduce regulatory barriers for these locations in a severe weather event.
Okay, so it isn't like they decide that day, hey, we're going to be a shelter. They need to have some ducks in a row before that time and get a chance to have Sam or
yes.
somebody else come look at the shelter.
Correct, and that's one of the reasons that we're trying to do this shelter team as well, is to get the word out to these different facilities and potential interested organizations who want to participate, so we can go through that process beforehand and be ready to go if we have a severe event.
So, Connie, have other places in Medford stepped up and said, we're willing to do this, come give us a look?
There are a few other churches. Nonprofits could also be potentially a location for a severe weather shelter. But the Fire and Rescue Department in Medford would be a better party to answer those questions mm-hmm. because they have the list. But I know it's ongoing, and as churches or other nonprofits or community organizations volunteer the use of their space, then they go through the process of being vetted by Medford Fire and Rescue.
So, Chad McCobus, we've been talking about this in terms of emergency shelter thus far, but that's just part of a larger picture, just trying to get people housed generally. Talk about, for the people who are not very familiar with what Rogue Retreat does, about some of the things you're up to, including the Kelly Shelter. We had Matt Vorderstrass on talking about that recently.
Yeah, and I'm sure he did a great job because he knows all that stuff. But anyway, yes, there's a lot of things we need to do, and Connie is great at this too. There's got to be all these different levels of housing. We're talking about the inclement weather shelters you're talking about right now, which we've got to have because when the weather gets below a certain degree and whether it gets smoky or hot in the summer, we've got to get people off the streets because it's life-threatening. But there's also the place for the longer-term shelters. The Kelly Shelter is going to be a full-time, 24 hours a day, 365-day shelter, and we've got 54 beds. That's a good thing to have because we can get people stable. We can now work with case management. We can help people move from homelessness into self-sufficiency, and that's where we got to go. And so we need all these different levels.
And there's a waiting list for Kelly Shelter already, is that right?
There's always a waiting list. Mm-hmm. That's the sad part.
How well, Connie Wilkerson, does the homeless community know about the services available? How well do those services know about each other? And how well do the people providing services know the members of the community who they're trying to serve?
That's a great question. In the 2 years that we have had the continuum of care restructured, I believe momentum really has grown among the agencies that are working with people who are experiencing homelessness. And so we are more well aware of what each agency does. And the continuum of care really tries to bring multiple trainings during the year so that those agencies are aware of the programs offered. Also, those who are unsheltered and experiencing homelessness really have a wonderful network of sharing information among themselves. We do try to use social media to post when severe weather shelters will be open, but word just really seems to spread.
Is it in the hands, for example, of police in the Rogue Valley? I mean, do they know where to direct people they find in situations where they are in some danger? Where they're outdoors in cold weather, stuff like that.
Yes, the police are a great partner, and the city of Medford now has a livability team. And they're working directly with people who are experiencing homelessness. KJ may be able to speak.
Yeah, Christine, I was going to ask if you could fill us in the livability team.
Yeah, certainly. So the livability team was something that council provided funding for last May. And they started in September, and their focus is to work within the homeless community and connect them, if possible, to services and help bridge that gap, especially in places that we see homelessness, you know, in some of our parks and along the Greenway. Their goal is to assist them, and they can focus on those cases instead of being pulled somewhere else. So their focus, their main priority, are trying to help these individuals connect to services.
Chad McComas, you mentioned case managers can work with people at the Kelly Shelter. So have you had to staff up considerably at Rogue Retreat to be able to turn the Kelly Shelter into a permanent year-round facility?
Yes, we have. And to run a full-time shelter takes a lot of money, a lot of staff. But it's worth it. You know, if we can help people not just have a bed to sleep in, but actually be able to get their life back, that's amazing. Rogue Retreat has always been interested in not warehousing the homeless, but helping the homeless move from homelessness to, like I said earlier, self-sufficiency. And we find that about 6 out of 10 can really do a good job at that, as long as we come alongside with them with case management, we figure out what are the issues they're facing, the barriers, and begin to address those. And one by one, things begin to topple, and they can move on and do well.
For the 4 out of 10 who have trouble, what are the usual obstacles?
And sometimes it's just that they're not ready. You know, sometimes people have to make some major changes, and it might be just too daunting at the time. And maybe their addiction just too strong, or maybe their mental illness needs some more help. Things that just kind of block them. And sometimes we'll give them a second time or a third time around, and then by then they might be ready.
Addiction was just mentioned. So give us a breakdown, if you would, Connie Wilkerson, about why people end up homeless. What are the circumstances that usually put them on the street?
Well, there are many triggers, but the top triggers that we've identified are job loss, discord in primary relationships. That can be intimate violence with a partner. That can be divorce. People asking others to leave the house situation. And income not meeting expenses and health concerns. And then we get to substance use disorder and mental health issues.
Among the health concerns, or as a separate category?
As a separate category.
Mm-hmm. And how big do those tend to be? I want to either confirm or deny the constant view that people are on the streets because they're addicted to something.
I would say at least 15% to 20% of those we regularly interface with are struggling either with a mental health issue, behavioral health, or a substance use disorder.
So, Chad McComas, for an organization like yours where you're trying to connect people to services, I mean, do you have all these bits of expertise in-house, or do you have to kind of link hands with other agencies to be able to provide those?
I think what Connie said earlier was really right on. There's about 100 and some different agencies out there that are all working together. And so there's wonderful resources, and it seems like we're all really willing to work together. You know, when we get in, let's go back to addiction, for instance, when we have someone that really needs some help, we're going to connect with the ARC or with OnTrack or any other organization that can help with those issues. And we have mental health folks we're going to get with, Options, we're going to get with Columbia Care, we're going to get with Jackson County Mental Health. So these wonderful organizations out there, we just need to network. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. I mean, you do talk to each other a lot. Connie Wilkerson, I mean, do you know all the players in the homeless community or the homeless services community, and for that matter, in the homeless community itself?
I would say that I know the majority of the organizations really well, because as Chad just alluded to, we collaborate on all the issues because none of us have the staff that are experts in all the areas. And so we rely upon each other and pull upon each other's strengths.
We're talking about homelessness in Southern Oregon with a couple of guests here. Constance Wilkerson is the Continuum of Care Manager for Jackson County Continuum of Care. Chad McComas is the CEO at Rogue Retreat, which operates shelters and other facilities. And we have with us Christina Johnson, the City of Medford Communications and Marketing Manager, filling in the details on the city's homeless shelter team. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. We have an email here from John and Eugene who says, I noticed that the standard in Eugene and Springfield is to open Egan emergency shelters when the temperature drops below 30, whereas in Medford it's to open where the temperatures drop below 25. Is this strictly a matter of a colder winter in the Medford area or limited resources? I'm paraphrasing. He said and, but that's the question from John and Eugene. Christina, how did Medford arrive at 25 as the number?
That was something that Tanner and Sam Barnum both looked into, just our weather patterns, mm-hmm. and took a look at what the averages look like. It's not something that I think that as we go through these shelter teams that there's an open discussion about, you know, if we need to change those parameters, that's something that we can take to council if our shelter team and our local organizations feel that that needs to happen. Right now we're trying to get some viable locations and work with our local organizations to have those up and ready to go if we do hit those times. But I think maybe in a year or two when we're further down the road and we have a few more participants who can open their doors, but that's something that we can potentially look at and the council can discuss.
Okay. Tanner Farrington, again, the deputy fire marshal and the shelter team leader, and Sam Barnum is the City of Medford's building safety director. How hopeful are any of you in the process of rehousing, given this recent HUD report about the fact that it looks like we're losing ground on the West Coast, that California and Oregon are seeing more people on the streets over time? Connie?
I know that this is their most recent report, but this has been our pattern for several years, and we have less than a 1% vacancy rate here in Jackson County, and yet we are successfully housing individuals and families all the time because of these strong partnerships and alliances that we build.
Chad McComas, when you see numbers like coming out of that HUD report, which is really just about the certification by the HUD secretary, Ben Carson, of the numbers and the point in time count from last January, what thoughts run through your mind about them?
It doesn't surprise me. You know, we are seeing an increase in homelessness in the work we've been doing for the last 20 years. It's growing. And I think it's what Connie said, it's lack of housing, which then trickles down to people on the streets. And until we get more housing, we're not going to see the homelessness go away on the West Coast. But we can start to address it and start mm-hmm. finding some temporary or transitional ways to take care of the homeless. And more people are stepping up. We just had a call from Senator Merkley a couple of weeks ago. He's trying to put a bill through Congress to help with more dollars to help transitional homelessness. And we've got to do that.
When you talk about transitional setups, facilities, what kinds of things are we talking about here?
Well, let's take Hope Village, for instance. We have, you know, these little tiny houses, and they're not maybe something I would want to sign up for because I have a nice home. But when I have no home, having a little tiny house that gives me safety and a roof over my head and a chance now to take showers and do my laundry and go out and get a job and have an address, that can help people start to move up the chain a little bit. And we've got to have more of those. And they're much less expensive to build, they're affordable, we can get them done quickly, and we can get more people off the streets, and that would benefit the whole community.
How much input does either Continuum of Care or Rogue Retreat or any of the other agencies have in the kind of houses that get built? As we talk about trying to find places that might be affordable to people. But for one thing, there's almost nothing available because of the low vacancy rate. You said, what, less than 1%, Connie? Mm-hmm. How much input do you give to the system, to the people who are in a position to do something about it, about the kinds of housing that could be or should be built?
Every year, the Continuum of Care makes a collaborative application to HUD, and we bring that money into the county, and various agencies are applying for those dollars. And so that's one way we help. And then I also know that other agencies right now are in the middle of some building projects. So more units will be coming online in the next year or so. And the Housing Authority of Jackson County also is a wonderful partner to work with. And they have recently received more vouchers from HUD, which allows them then to give these vouchers to individuals so that they can be housed.
I know it's arisen partly from Washington, where there's talk at the White House occasionally of coming to California and cleaning up homeless situations on the streets by putting people in camps. The mayor of Reading created a bit of a firestorm recently by making a similar suggestion about essentially putting people into facilities and holding them there until something improved. I mean, how does that strike you when you're in the business of helping people who are homeless?
It does not strike me as a good idea at all. It seems oppressing someone's civil liberties. It seems that you're removing choice.
Chad McComas?
I don't want to disagree with Connie. I understand what she's saying, but I do think we need to find some ways to get people off the streets en masse. And we may have to create some camps. And it may not have to be a camp like a prison or something. But
right.
I think we have to have some options. To leave people struggling out there to survive is not very humane. And we're going to have to find ways we can get people into a more humane place where they can actually take care of themselves.
Now, Christina, there was a public meeting of the shelter team on December 10th. I just wonder what kind of input and perspectives you might have gotten from the community when you asked them to show up for that.
It was a really good turnout. I myself was not there, but our city councilor, Kay Brooks, who called the meeting, was there and facilitated the conversation. The purpose of the meeting was to discuss the current situation of what we have, to talk about the severe weather event that was declared over Thanksgiving, how that went, the feedback from the church and the Compassion Highway Project, who provided the volunteers, and what we can do moving forward. I do know that Sam and Tanner are talking to a couple more interested organizations, and hopefully that will turn into something that we can get them pre-approved before the next severe event, and we have some options in terms of different locations for people to go.
There was some pretty cold weather around Christmas, too. Was there any triggering of emergency shelters then?
We did not.
Okay.
There was no declaration.
Okay. Temperature didn't get that low, evidently? All right.
Correct.
So just in general, a couple minutes left here to ask about, it seems like there's no shortage of people and organizations who want to help, but does it seem like as fast as outreach and help can be expanded, they reach capacity, Connie Wilkerson?
Staff capacity really is an issue because every agency is working with as many clients as they can. It really comes down to dollars, because if we had more dollars coming in, then we could employ more staff, and more staff could then case manage individuals that have acute needs.
You mentioned, a couple of you have mentioned Compassion Highway. I want to make sure we give them some credit for what they're doing. This is another organization involved in trying to help homeless people. Talk about what Compassion Highway is and does.
Compassion Highway is a group of volunteers. I believe now they have their nonprofit status as well, and they do huge feeds in the park and in Medford and in Hawthorne Park, and they also collect goods that individuals experiencing homelessness need, and they distribute those goods. And they also have a street feeding ministry where they do street outreach and take food out to individuals. So they help on many fronts, and they have a big volunteer base.
Chad, let me come back to you about the question that I asked previously to Connie, which is about the, as you expand services, the idea that they pretty much quickly get used up. I mean, do you feel like you could double the size of what you do at Rogue Retreat and still not have a complete handle on the issue?
I think probably all the agencies in town could double and still not have a total thing on, handle on it. You mentioned earlier about what kind of housing can we build. Can I pipe in on that for
a second? Yeah, go ahead.
I think that all the agencies, and Connie mentioned the Housing Authority, for instance, you know, they would be glad to build a lot more, but it's all about money, you know, because it costs so much to build the housing that we need. I think it's been determined we need 5,000 more affordable units in Jackson County and 3,000 more in Josephine County. You know, who's got the money to build those, right? And I think that's the struggle. You know, how do we get those funds?
Well, that is a great question, yeah. And as we talked to some people previously on the program, Oregon would have to build about 30,000 homes a year for 5 years to get even close to catching up to its arrears from the
right.
Great Recession. So something that's not going to be solved overnight, but obviously some new efforts going on with Medford's homeless shelter team. Christina Johnson at the City of Medford, Communications and Marketing Manager, thank you for telling us about the shelter team.
Thank you for having me.
Chad McComas, Chief Executive Officer at Rogue Retreat, good to hear from you. Thank you for joining.
Always an honor. Thank you.
All right. Constance Wilkerson, the manager, Continuum of Care for Jackson County, COC. Connie, thanks so much for joining us once again.
Thank you.